You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
KSL at Night was recorded and produced this afternoon. KSL at Night. Some of Utah's top political specialists join a roundtable on the day's biggest stories. KSL is at 102.7 FM and on every smart speaker when you say play KSL News Radio.
Welcome to KSL at Night. We are happy to be here with you. Lots of news. Mara Caraballo, Leah Murray. Leah, you know, usually, well, this is the weekend after the state convention. I'm going to say usually we do a little bit of let's recap. We are going to give this some time because according to absolutely everyone, all of the political folks out there, this was an unusual and crazy, particularly Republican convention. So let's start with just a big headline. It was 17 hours long. So if you bought a ticket, you got your money's worth.
This oh my gosh. But that explains why.
What is that, Five Eras Tour?
Yeah, that is. It's the Five Eras Tour. But I was literally kind of looking for results. Does that make sense? I'm thinking, how do we not know more? It feels like we should have more.
Right.
And now that makes sense to me. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, they didn't really even start the statewide conversations until the rest of us were having supper. So it was quite something. But we had boots on the ground that day at KSL. And so Bridger Beal Svetko, did I say it right, Bridger? That was a long pause there. But Bridger was at the convention. And Bridger, thanks for joining us on KSL at Night to talk through what happened at the Republican Party's convention this weekend.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And you nailed it. So thanks.
So, okay, start with just, we'll just take a minute on the back end, because I really feel like this has been a complaint this election cycle. So the Republicans and actually the Democrats had a great caucus turnout in March, but there were some complaints about the voting. This past Saturday, the convention opened the doors at 7. They were supposed to start local House and Senate seats. They were supposed to do an 8 to 9 and a 9 to 10. My understanding is we didn't even get started an hour and a half late because of some problems voting. So tell us about what voting was like that day and how did we start out with technical difficulties?
Yeah, I mean, it was for anyone that went to some of the caucus events a couple weeks ago that had long lines and issues with registration. I think it was some of the same things that were on display here. I got there about 7:45-ish, and there was lines wrapped throughout the convention center. It took delegates sometimes 2 to 3 hours to get checked in, waiting in line. So I don't know if it was an issue with the systems or not enough staff or whatever there, but just took a long time to get everyone settled. Almost 5,000 delegates, I think 4,500 were there is what they estimate, and just took forever to get things going. And then once the votes happened, each vote seemed to take sometimes 20 to 30 minutes with more technical difficulties with delegates struggling to get their vote in or struggling with the app that they used. So a lot of glitches, it seemed like, throughout the night that really pushed the beginning of the day and then really dragged everything out all Saturday.
So I'm going to tell you what, when my IT doesn't work well in any phase of my existence, I become, the worst version of Leah Murray that shows up into any conversation.
Like you're having a bad TSA experience at the airport.
Oh my goodness, right? Every time. So Bridger, to a certain extent, do you think, right, what you're talking about, these technical difficulties led to what we've all heard is that, man, there were some feisty, rowdy people at that convention? Is like that what was going on?
That could have been part of it. A lot of people were upset that we were using electronic voting at all. There was a lot of anger that it seemed like a small handful of delegates who wanted to move to paper balloting, which I was told would have taken at least another 5 to 6 hours and wasn't really feasible. They didn't have paper ballots ready or anything, but it seemed like there was a lot of anger about just the way that they use the electronic voting from people that were worried about fraud. And then just a lot of other anger at, incumbent Republicans. Governor Spencer Cox got booed. I think everyone expected that to happen, but there was a lot of vitriol at some of those incumbent representatives and elected officials, I think, that probably was exacerbated by the 2 to 3 hours spent in line in the morning, for sure.
So, Bridger, let's talk about people a little bit more. Let's talk about those who got the convention nod and what some of the results are. I want to start with maybe the one I think shows the starkest contrast, which is, let's start with the U.S. Senate race. A bunch of people going in. Several people have already committed to signature gathering. But walk us through who came out of convention for the U.S. Senate race, which is the race to replace Mitt Romney.
Yeah, the big winner probably of the whole convention, or one of the big winners, was Trent Staggs. He's the mayor of Riverton right now, running for U.S. Senate. He got a big boost in the morning. Former President Donald Trump endorsed him before the proceedings began. So that was a big shot in the arm to his campaign, I think, with the delegates. He ended up winning that race, but he'll face three challengers in the primary who have already gathered signatures. Representative John Curtis is running for that seat, as is former Utah House Speaker Brad Wilson and Jason Walton, an entrepreneur and the founder of a pest control company. So we narrowed down that field from the 10 that there were initially, but it's still going to be a pretty wide open, pretty drawn out primary with four contenders going forward.
So, Leah and Bridger, as we talk about this, Leah, let's take this as a moment to maybe juxtapose. There was an opinion research poll that came out that was done. It concluded April 16th. So it was sort of done a week before this. And as Bridger said, Mayor Staggs flew out of convention with a decisive victory, but it's really not in a line with this Republican average voter poll, which told us that John Curtis was coming in at 27% of the vote. He did signature gather. Brent Hatch, 11%. He did not make it out of convention. Brad Wilson, 10%. He signature gathered. And in this poll, Trent Staggs only got 5% of the vote. So he's outperforming. The delegates are 40 plus percentage points more in favor of Staggs than it appears the average Republican voter.
Yeah, and Bridger, before you answer that, let me just add to it and just flip into a different race, because the same is true of data, right, Mara, around Governor Cox. So like you said, Bridger, he gets booed. We get Lyman coming out of convention, but in a poll, Cox is like just leading the field. He's got 51% approval. So can you speak a little bit to that disconnect, what we're seeing in polling of Republican registered voters versus what we saw among delegates at the convention?
Yeah, and that's a great point. That was one of my biggest takeaways from the convention, and is that Governor Cox is wildly popular. I think a recent poll, it might be that same one that you cited in the Senate race, showed him with something like 80% support from Republicans at this point. Republicans broadly, not just the delegates at convention. So, but he got beat. I believe Phil Lyman, a state representative who's running against him, got about 72% of the vote at convention. So he got beat pretty handily at convention, but seems to be leading in the general popular vote. So I think it's been talked about a lot in recent years, the split between the delegates, who tend to be a little more conservative, a little bit further to the right than the general electorate, that it's not uncommon for incumbents to lose at the convention, but qualify for a primary and go on to do pretty well. So while a couple of those people, Blake Moore also is one that lost at convention, but he gathered signatures. He's an incumbent congressman and is probably expected to advance as well. So I think that's a through line that this delegate pool is a small representation that's not necessarily representative of the party as a whole.
Bridger Beals-Fetko, thank you so much for spending your time all day there.
I know,
Saturday.
Were you there 17 hours?
I was, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Probably 18 if you count the time that it took trying to get out of the parking garage after. But it was a long day.
That's great.
Thanks for your coverage of this event. And Leah, we're not done. I mean, we want to go a little bit deeper in this and talk about the consequences, but we also have a really seasoned person coming up. We have a couple of guests who have been in every position you can possibly be in, and we want to get some more insight to what Saturday means for the rest of us as voters and what it was like to be there. So stay tuned with us on KSL at Night.
It's finally time to say goodbye to the snow and hello to spring, and right now is the best time to spring into adventure in an RV from a Motorsportsland RV Center. Through this week, come check out Motorsportsland's season kickoff event and find the RV you've been dreaming of. Save thousands and even tens of thousands off MSRP and find your next adventure at a Motorsportsland RV Center today.
Let Motorsportsland help you get away.
Motorsportsland.com.